Well, here we are in Epiphany, the Sunday where we recognize the three kings. Actually, though, in Scripture, it just says some men. We've kind of turned it into three throughout time. That's a fun trivia game if you ever want to play it. Again, we're really fun at parties, pastors. We're super fun. But today, when I was reading the Scripture, there's many different ways you could go with this sermon. You could talk about the wise men and who they were and what they brought to the king, the gifts. You could talk about the turmoil in the time of Jesus and King Herod acting like he was excited about this birth of a new king, when in fact, we'll find out in Scripture, he was terrified. Today, I preached in this space last night. Today we're going to focus on the light, though, the star, and what that can still mean for us today. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, the rolling of the hill, the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, the chatter of a child, the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of this room and the longing of our minds and our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So the past 2 weeks in the Myers household has been full again. Cody and Dylan were both home from school, which meant many things around the house reminded me of that. One thing was my finance app alerted me that I had tripled my spending on food for the month, which was true. Also, I walked around the house and random things would remind me that they were there. Half-eaten lunches. Cups on the counter, 14 cups in their bedroom. For some reason, always the pantry drawer was now ajar. And when I go into my kitchen, half of the cabinets are open and half of them are closed. And in all of these little reminders, the best part was night spent sitting as a family on the couch. Sometimes we watched Christmas movies. Most of the time they watched football and I read a book. But having us all together in the same space, with a Christmas tree that had lights, with my nativity collection surrounding us with the story of the birth of Christ. And then kind of decided to get a puppy right after Christmas. And so we had to quickly take down all the Christmas decorations. It was a decision that was made in a couple of hours, and so boxes came down, lights went away, and the tree was whisked back to the attic. As we're reading this story in Matthew today, I want you to think about, as we pack up this tree and that star and this light, that the light we're talking about today is different. The light that the wise men saw in the sky changed everything. It started by changing these wise men. For meeting Jesus must change you. And then it began to change the hearts and minds of people for generations, till us. Hear now the story of Matthew, of the visit of the wise men. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is this child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observe the star rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where this Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem, for it is so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, and by no means least among the rulers, for of whom shall come a ruler who is shepherd to my people of Israel? Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for this child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may also pay him homage. When they heard the king, they sent out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down. They opened their treasure chest and offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. This story, these words, this scripture reminds us the fullness and the messiness of life. We've got a king who's not always a great character in scripture, who is frightened in his power of what this new king could be. We have the Magi, who we call wise men. And I want to point out this fact to you. These wise men studied the sky. This was part of why they were wise. They knew the patterns of the stars, and they watched this star rise. And they knew it was different. And I believe they had a choice about what was next. They could have just seen the star, made note of the star, and gone about their day. Yet this star changed them. They made intent and purpose to travel to this star. This wasn't easy. This wasn't calling an Uber. This wasn't a flight. This was a journey that took purpose. It took gumption to want to keep going. And then you add in Herod and his not so great ways. When they went and saw Jesus, the light changed them. Here at St. Andrew, unless you're in the choir in the sanctuary, pastors have the best view of Christmas Eve. We get the opportunity to take the light and share it with you. And not only that, we get to watch it spread throughout the congregation. It is honestly one of my favorite times of the year. Although I have to say, this past year, when it came to 11 p.m., we had started the day in here at 11 a.m., I kindly urged my family, maybe we could just watch 11 p.m. online. I've been to church 4 or 5 times that day. The sermon was great. I was good. It was time to just rest. And my older son, who may or may not be home next Christmas, said, no, I want us to sit as a family. Let's go to 11 p.m. And I'm so glad he urged us to do that, because I got to see the light from a different perspective. At 11 p.m., I was sitting amongst the congregation, and I got to watch the light come to me. And then I got to share that light with my son. And he shared it with my husband, who shared it with our other son, who shared it with a stranger who he didn't know sitting in our pew. And I thought, oh, isn't that what we're called to do? You see, we can just see the light. We can just look at a tree and say, oh, it's beautiful. Or we can let the light change us. We can let the light guide us. We can let the light show us the way. As I talked about my home and the messiness of children coming back, it's going to be clean next week. There'll probably be a little bit more money in my food spending account. But also the fact that the four of us were together, not just together as family, but together centered in Christ, means that when they go out back to their homes that they are in now, I know they're grounded in a light that travels wherever they go. I know they are surrounded in a light that changes who they are. I know they are surrounded in Christ's hope and light no matter where they go. You see, there's so many things we can focus on in this world. And it is so easy to focus on other shiny things. I love shiny things. I love new things. I love technology. All of that. And yet, if I put these other objects at the center and the focus of my life, I become askew and not quite right. If I focus on Christ's light, the way that it can transform kings and nations and generations to come, I am centered again. I remind myself of who I am called to be. And so as we start this year of 2025, sometimes I wonder, how do we actually become the light of Christ? Like, it sounds great. Like, I am the light of Christ. But what does that actually mean? Are you allowing the light of Christ to live into your life? Are you allowing it to transform your decisions? How you live your life? How you interact with other people? For when you blow out that candle on Christmas Eve, your light goes with you. And we are called as a church to go out and be the light. Sometimes I wonder how. How do we actually be faithful? One thing that I can recommend, an article that I read this week, says volunteering for 1 hour a week can help your life expectancy go longer. I was reading this article very curious about actually why that matters. And it's because you are focusing on others. You're getting outside of yourself and doing something for somebody else. It helps your body, it helps your mind, and it helps your soul be connected to who you were called to be. One prayer that I like to say at the beginning of every new year, in fact, it is a traditional Methodist prayer from John Wesley. And it's called the Wesley Covenant Prayer. I gave you a gift of that prayer in your bulletins. I would love for you to take this prayer with you. Maybe you put it on your fridge. Maybe you tape it to a mirror. Maybe you place it in your car, because sometimes on the tollway is when I need God's light and grace most in my life. But I want you to not just say these words. Honestly, this prayer is a prayer that is one of the most difficult prayers for me to pray. These are not easy, fluffy, simple words. These are deep, committed words to your faith. It mirrors what the Magi and the wise men did in this story, the deep intention of faith. Both traveling to the light, seeing the Christ child, giving their gifts to him, and then going away transformed. This prayer centers me. It reminds me that although I might color code my calendar and organize my pantry, I'm really not in control. I give all things over to Christ Jesus, the light, the hope, the peace, and the comfort of this world. Will you say these words with me now? I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praise for you or criticize for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. Now, as we move from the message to the table, I want to remind you of what this table can mean in your life, what this meal can mean in your life. This is a meal that sustains us in our journey. It reminds us of the fullness of the story of faith. I ask you to open up your hearts and your minds as we prepare today for Holy Communion. Please join with us now in the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift our hearts to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
We give thanks to you.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and say the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism, his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery of sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I now invite those who are assisting with communion to come forward now. We want to remind you that here at St. Andrew, this is an open table. If you feel God calling you to come and participate in communion, please do so. And here we take communion by intinction, which means you will be given a piece of bread. You take that bread and dip it into the juice and take both elements together. We do have a gluten-free station in the back corner if that is something that you would like to use to participate in communion. If you are with us online, we invite you now to share in this holy meal together. When you break the bread, it is the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup is the blood of Christ shed for you. The table is now open.